You're listening to Strange Familiars. True stories of the paranormal, cryptids, hauntings, the occult, mythology, UFOs, folklore, weird and forgotten history. Please make sure to like and subscribe to Strange Familiars on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you are listening. Please share the Strange Familiars page and episodes on Facebook and other social media. If you have experienced something strange, or if you know a story you would like us to cover, email strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, and of course, strangefamiliars.com.
Welcome to episode 13. Before we begin, I want to ask your help. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If we're going to continue to bring you Strange Familiars on a regular basis, it needs to pay for itself. We love doing this podcast, but it takes time and it takes money. We have a lot more planned with a lot of new ideas on the horizon, and I know the business model of podcasts is to give something away for free and hope people will reward you for it. And we're trying. But if you can help out, even just $3 a month gets you extra content. We just posted a patron-only show a short time ago, and we're about to post another one very soon. You can also get rewards like t-shirts, pins, stickers, and more, all at different subscriber levels. That's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. And thanks, of course, to all of our current patrons. The music we use on Strange Familiars, that's done by my band Stone Breath. Our new album is called Witch Tree Prophets. It's available for pre-order now. If you get the CD directly from us, it comes with a 30-page booklet, including lyrics, a bunch of illustrations I did specifically for this project, and two essays, one by me on the Witch Tree, and one by David Weatherly on Topos. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more. Tonight I'm going to be talking with Jim Pyre. Jim is a Strange Familiars listener. He contacted me and we had a really good conversation off the air. So I invited Jim to come on and tell some of his stories about his paranormal experiences. We talk about Will-o'-the-Wisps, the Fae, Grassman, Hat Man, and more. And we also discuss a little bit about what Jim and I think might be going on behind this stuff. From the time we started this podcast, I wanted to feature listener stories, so this has been a real treat for me, talking to Jim. If you have a story of something strange or of a paranormal experience, don't hesitate to contact us at Strange Familiars. We'd love to hear from you. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jim. Going to talk with Jim, who is one of our listeners, and he contacted me and we had a talk about some different experiences. And I guess yours, in a way, they start early, if you want to talk about your grandparents' haunted house.
Yeah. Hey Tim, how you doing? It's a real privilege to be on. I'm a big fan of your work and the show and the group you hang out with, man. Tell Soraya I said hi.
Will do. Thanks.
Yeah. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, very working class, blue-collar people. And they were sort of, you know, it's there. And if you can't see it, taste it, or, well, frankly, wear it, it ain't there. But the interesting thing about me is, my grandparents had, it was haunted. It really was. And And the real interesting part was, like, when I had friends come and sleep over, they experienced it too. So I thought to myself, well, I must not be crazy, because they can see it and hear it too. So, you know, that's pretty much what sort of spurred me on. But even then, it was sort of like, well, that's interesting. It wasn't something I wanted to research or anything like that, but it was always in my head.
So what kind of things happen in the haunted house, or what kind of haunting was it? Was this, did you see things, hear things, or all the above?
A little bit of both, actually. Now, when I got older, it didn't happen so much. But when I was a kid, and this was way back, like, in the dawn before the internet, so it was the 80s, we would hear people walk, well, people, whatever it was, walking on the stairs, going up and down. I saw a mug move on the table. And, you know, you weren't really a busy street. There weren't any trucks. It wasn't really a high earthquake zone. So when you'd see that, you'd go, well, that's really odd. So, you know, I didn't see a flaming body or something, or nothing got a knife thrown at me or anything like that. Nothing to really shock you, but things to, you know, give you pause.
Friends would hear and see these things too.
Friends wouldn't want to sleep over anymore. After a while, I was a lonely child.
Was
like, Jim, I ain't coming over.
Did it become sort of matter of fact? Like, I remember I visited, it's one of my brother's girlfriends when I was real young. Later part of elementary school, sixth grade, fifth grade, something like that. And they had what was considered to be one of the most haunted houses in Baltimore. And they were very matter of fact about it, because they live with it every day. It was just like, yeah, we have ghosts.
You see, I wish it would have been like that, because it would have spared me like years of therapy. Because my family, I think a majority of people, I don't know if you ever read Douglas Adams, but the aliens in one of the books had like a not my business field, and you'd see the ship and you go, it's not my business. and my grandparents, my parents, they were like that. They're like, it's making some noise. I don't know what that is. It's not our business. And it was sort of, you could have told me it was a ghost and it would have been fine. You know, for a kid, it's like, okay, well, that's an explanation. Instead of going, nah, don't worry about it. It's nothing. Well, it is something. You know, so what is it? You know, that's one of those things that hits you upside the head. Well, wait a minute. There's something going on, you know. What is going on?
At the time, did you refer to it as haunted, or was it just weird things happen at grandma's house?
Yeah, it was. I think I brought it up, maybe two or three times, and I was dismissed. So it was sort of like, that's the thing that happens there. You know, it's just what it is. It is what it is. You know, it's like that field. My ex-wife's father-in-law, he's another sort of blue-collar guy, and he was in they flipped homes in Charleston, and he would talk about, you know, it's funny, we had this house, and no matter what, this one room was always real cold and always dark. I don't know why. I'm like, yeah, I know why, buddy. It's not the air conditioning. There is no air conditioning in that home in Charleston in the summer. Like, there's something up.
Right. Yeah. I don't know why something yells "get out" every time I step into the basement. I'm not sure.
Yeah, must be the radio. Wait, there's no electricity. No, must be the radio. Okay. But I really think people. I really think all of us go to that kind of length to just ignore the stuff that interferes with the 20-year mortgage. You know, I think in a way that might even be a healthy coping mechanism. You know, it's like, don't worry about it. You know, keep on trucking. Just keep on trucking.
I think, you know, that happens a lot. I think you're right. I think, yeah. And people, sometimes they literally don't have time for it. You know, like you said, if they're trying to pay the bills, they literally just don't have time for it. And other times they just willfully ignore it. Like, nope, I'm not having this. Whatever this is, just no.
Yeah, it's not happening. And folks like us, for better or worse, we're like, what? You know, it will just ravage your mind for days, if not weeks. I had an experience where I was in a little town in the middle of, and I've talked about it before, but I was in a little town in the middle of Ohio, And one day I was putting on my suit for work, and I heard just as loud as somebody standing next to me, "He's putting on the vest." And I was putting on the vest to my suit, you know. And I couldn't get a thing done all day. I try to do some work, and then I go, "I heard something say, he's putting on the vest."
Right, yeah.
It just ruins you, man. In a way, it's like, God bless the other folks, because they're like, "Nah, nothing happened. Do-do-do-do-do."
Yeah.
Give me those expense reports.
Well, I know with some of my stuff, which is I'm only beginning to begin to deal with it, it's been a lot easier not to. Yeah, I do get that. I think...
I've heard your stuff, and you and I have talked in private, and I've heard the other stuff, and I can't imagine not just ignoring it. You know what I'm saying? You ignore it for your well-being. I mean, especially something like that, something traumatic or something you just like, "Oh, that was icky." That's what your brain does. You know, you ignore it. I think that is a defense mechanism. It's a healthy one too.
Makes me wonder how many people just on the regular are having, you know, weird stuff happen, and they're just like, nope, not dealing with it.
I'd love to find out. I'd love to write a book on that, but like, how would you get it? Because they've ignored it. You know what I'm saying? They've ignored it. I know that it has happened just from talking to certain people. And I'm like, wait, you don't understand what you experienced there? I think it's registered, but I don't know how you'd pull it up, because for them, it's just like, whatever. You know, the sky was purple today. Yeah, it's all right. You know, late for work.
Oh, yeah. It's with Bigfoot witnesses, you'll get people that say, it was a bear. It just happened to be, you know, it was walking on two legs. The bear had really long legs and shoulders, and it was swinging its arms and hands, but it was a bear.
Yeah, it was knocking a piece of wood against the tree, but I'm sure bears do that.
Yeah, no, yeah, because to them, they cannot, if they're not going to function in life if it was anything that other than a bear. In order for them to move on, it has to be a bear.
You know, God bless, it works.
Yes.
I was really just that little thing. I mean, what was it, like a 5 second, even less? You know, he's putting on the vest. I'm telling you, it wrecked me, man. It wrecked me. I'm like, where does that come from? I know I heard it. I'm not insane. What's going on? I heard it, you know. It's like, no, I got to keep going. No, I heard it. I don't know if it's the Rh negative, you know, blood type. I think it's that, the thing that doesn't let us ignore it, that brings us out of the field. I really do.
Maybe. I don't know what my blood type is. Someone asked me that, too.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm pretty sure I'm just a B. Plain old B.
But, I mean, that literally does figure into this. When I started talking on Where Does the Road Go, someone wrote Soraya and said, "Ask Tim what his blood type is." I don't know. My wife knows. I don't know.
Oh, that's, I don't know if you... That's a theory, I think... I think Nick Redford wrote a book about that, about Rh negative blood types, and you might be a hybrid, or like if you look at people who do UFO research and such, like a majority of them have the Rh negative blood type.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. It's just one of those things that make you scratch your head.
Young experiences. And then I know later on you had some experiences. Did you have much in between? Anything like crazy during your adolescence or you know, high school, college time?
No, not really. I was, you know, and I may have, and it may have just passed me by. But mostly I was just keeping my head down,
sure,
and just going through the motions and stuff. You know, that's amassing the student loan debt. You know, just doing what I was supposed to be doing. You know.
So is the experience in Alaska, is that sort of the next major thing?
That's pretty big. I've had some weirdness. I know when I was a little boy, like I said, I grew up on the south side. I know I had an experience where I saw, an airplane, a jet plane, a passenger liner fly above the house. It made no noise, and it terrified me. And I know I ran inside, and my folks were like, it's fine. There's nothing going on. And you know, it was gone. And to this day, I try to remember it, and I go, you know, it really didn't make any noise. I don't know what that is, you know, and it those things sort of disappear. They go away in the back of your mind. I'm probably going to remember like hours from now, oh yeah, there was that thing. But, you know, they just sort of, you know, they go back and just sit there, you know.
I guarantee you will remember. I did the same thing with Soraya. The couple of days after I started talking with him, things would just pop into my head like, oh yeah, there was that when I was, you know, 8. Oh yeah, there was that when I was 12. Oh yeah. It's a matter of
absolutely
accessing that part of your memory. I think it kind of sparks things again.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm always wondering what kind of folder that goes into, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird stuff.
Yeah. I'll deal with this someday.
It was Alaska that really kind of floored me. It was in the 90s. I hiked a lot when I was younger and had a hairline and I was fit. I hiked a whole lot, and I went there for my honeymoon, and I was hiking, and we were camping in a place called Kennecott, and it was an old copper, it's an old copper mining town, and the mine is all, you know, it's all abandoned and stuff, but you can hike around there. It was a really cool place, and I remember it didn't get, like, dark, because we were there in the summer, so it got sort of dusk. But enough to where it made, like, visibility horrible. I can't remember what time it was. All I know, it was about as dark as it was going to get. Sort of that, sort of tannish, you can't really see anything in front of your face dark. I think we were hiking around the complex. And I was with a guide and some people I made friends with. It had to have been a half an hour, maybe an hour into the hike. And we were into the forest. There was a lot of forest there, man. And there were lights on our right. And it was a good, I don't know, 50 meters. They were in there, but there were lights. And not like UFO lights or like firefly lights, but they were about the size of a softball. And I remember to this day, because they had dimension to them. They weren't, not that anybody could be out there, but of course the guide could have done something. It could have been a huge hoax. But they had dimension. They were balls. They were orbs. It's still hard to process in my head because they were floating orbs, and they were darting and floating between the trees. And I remember I looked at them, and I was just amazed. I was floored. And it wasn't fear or anything. It was just sort of like, wow. And the fella I had made friends with behind me, he was older than I. He was much older than I was at the time. I think I was in my 20s. And he's about my age now, so he's in his 40s, and he was shocked. But I think the most interesting thing is with the guide, because this was a guy who's, I don't think he even showered much. I mean, he was like a woodsman, you know, it's like a ranger, you know.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I see him all the time. Keep going. Like, okay. My God. You know, it's like, hey, he's going, we're going to be late. We got a schedule to keep. Yeah, they're neat. Okay, keep going. Like, dude.
Well,
he may
have been trying to keep you focused. I mean, the legends around here with lights in the woods, and I know other places in the country too, are do not follow them.
You're right. The will-o-wisps. You're right. And, you know, the thing about it is, looking back, I probably would have followed them because there was no fear, but there was this amazing sense of curiosity. There really was. I can't say about the older fella. I think he was more shocked just from the look on his face, but I was smitten. I was like, what in the heck are those? You know, I want to go see. I have always been that guy, even from like being a little kid, you know, where you, it's like there's a cave and it says free hugs. And I'm like, it seems legit. Let's go on it. I just my curiosity gets the best of me all the time.
Sure.
It was something. It really was. And that sort of had a huge impact on me. It really did. And from that point on, I really wanted to learn a lot. I remember going to a bookstore when I was there or in surrounding areas and like picking up everything I could about folklore and just Alaska horror story, ghost stories and such, you know.
Did they have any
color?
That's
really when it hit me.
These lights, did they have any?
As I remember, some days they do and some days they don't. So I'm pretty sure they didn't, because as I see it in my head, it was that weird dusky sort of light out from the sky. So I know you don't really see colors all that well. So if anything, they were just sort of bright white.
Mm-hmm. About how many were there?
Oh, at least three. At least three. And, you know, and looking back, it was sort of like they were dancing or playing between the trees, you know, just bobbing up and down, like swimming almost, you know?
And maybe I'm skipping too far ahead here, but eventually you kind of came to the conclusion that these were Fae or related to the Fae.
Oh, I think so. I mean, here's the deal. I say that, and people think I'm more of a crackpot than I am. But when I say Fae, it's because I get tired of saying, like, creatures we don't know or, you know, transdimensional entities. I just, for brevity, I call them Fae.
Sure.
You know, as it turns out, they sort of match up. You know, in a way, I'm sort of like a poor man's Joshua Cutchin. I've got his books and stuff, but I haven't done any writing myself. But I think I'm along the path. He's way ahead of me, but I'm still along that path.
You know, I started writing an introduction to a book that I may or may not ever publish, and I was talking about Joshua. And I said, I think we're on the same page. And then I said, no, I think we're in the same book, and he's a few chapters ahead of me.
I agree, man. I agree. The man knows. He is like the old fella in the Mothman prophecies that Richard Gere goes to. Sooner or later, Joshua's going to be like, I can't talk about this anymore. Go away. You got to leave my office.
Well, hopefully we can keep him talking. That's right.
Keep doing more books.
He's one of the treasures of our community, I think. The paranormal community, or whatever label you want to put on this subculture, I think he's a real treasure. Did you come to this conclusion sort of at the time after looking around, or was it over the course of years that you said, like I, you know what, I think...
Yeah, it was years. It was years. Yeah, it really was, because I started reading about UFO abductions, because you saw those lights with, well, and I know you know, you see those lights sometimes with Bigfoot sightings or the hairy hominid sightings, and, mm-hmm. and then there may be a craft, or there might not be, and then you got the high strangeness, and all of a sudden, somewhere in my mind, it went in all into that weird folder, and, you know, out fell out. Hey, you know what? There's a common denominator to all these things, and it's the Fae. It really is. It is. You know, these things have been happening as long as we've been here. You know, at least as long as we've recorded it, and I guarantee you a lot longer. So, you know, these aren't new phenomena.
Oh, I agree totally. Joshua and now you have you guys are winning me over. Like I said, this stuff is sort of at the periphery. I was, you know, I knew it was part of it. I knew, you know, but there's so many parallels that it becomes pretty impossible to ignore.
There's always room for one more, my friend. We got free cookies.
So what's next, the Grassman experience or the Hatman experience, chronologically?
No, actually, the Grassman thing. I haven't told anybody but the Hatman thing, so that's sort of a low point. So I'll talk about the Grassman. I was in Ohio. I lived in Ohio for years and years and years. I was just doing ghost hunting. I was doing everything I could, to tell you the truth. I was looking for UFOs, and I stumbled on a group, and we became good friends. And they were hunters, really rugged sort of woodsy guys. I learned a lot of stuff from those guys. I think they, if anything, sort of helped me realize, and again, I think you know this too, you begin to realize, okay, you know, people may sort of go, oh, these guys are a bunch of lug nuts and they're not real bright, but they've got interesting stories and they've got interesting experiences, and you get to know them, and, you know, they're not messing with you. So if they say they saw something, I'm more likely than not to believe they saw something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they say, hey, you know what, go south against the river if you're ever lost and you'll find something. I'm like, okay. You know, I will take everything they gave me to heart. I really will.
You know? Sure, yeah.
But what had happened was a friend of a friend had opened up some land for hunting, and it was a lot of land, and it was way down south, close to, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a forest preserve, basically. And the guy had just tons of acres, and he was a city boy from Columbus, and he was putting up game trails and sort of refurbishing a house. And he saw something in his periphery, and, you know, he freaked. I mean, naturally, he freaked. So that's how we ended up going down there. And we were going to make it for a weekend because, you know, we were a bunch of weekend warriors anyway. So they packed up their trucks and stuff, and I had my little car. I was really out of place, man. And then we went down there. It was a good ride because I was living in Columbus too. So it was a few hours. And then we got there. We made camp. Lots of trucks, lots of tents, lots of guns, and lots of beer. It was pretty much, you know, us sitting around and BSing for most of the day until it got late. And then the guys all, well, a majority of the guys, there were five of us, majority of the guys went to bed. And it was me and two other guys. We're up, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard something, and all of a sudden, you're at that point where, you know, you're a little bit tipsy, and then you're stone cold sober. I have it on the computer, but it doesn't do it justice because it was that infrasound. You could feel it in your chest, and I hadn't experienced that. I mean, outside of a concert, and maybe going in front of the lion, you know, enclosure at the zoo, you don't really experience that anywhere. And you feel that sort of rumble in your chest cavity, and all of a sudden it's like, what in the hell is that? And it happened three times, because the second time the guys got out of the tents, the two guys got out, and, you know, everybody's got guns except me. I've got my recorder like a doofus. Everybody's got guns. And I remember, I said, anybody want to go look to see what that is? And they're like, no. And I'll tell you what, Tim, the next morning, got up. I mean, we didn't sleep. We stayed until, we stayed near the fire all night, but we got our stuff together. We took the trail cam, and we left. so ends the grass man, the great grass man hunt.
It sounded off in a howling kind of scream. Is that what we're talking about?
It was like a deep scream. It wasn't sort of like a monkey, like yowl or scream. It was deep, like a lion crossed with a gorilla.
So more like,
you know,
a roar.
Like that infrasound deep. Yeah, a roar. Perfect, yeah. And it was, like I said, you went from tipsy to sober in a second. It's like, boom, what was that? You know, all the hairs pull up on your neck, and you're like, oh, God. You know, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. And, you know, I don't know why we felt that. Well, I know I felt that way. Looking at the guys, I'm pretty sure they felt that way. But they really were armed. I mean, they had enough firepower to what you would think would be to bring down something like that. But you don't know. And your body certainly says, no, you need to go. This isn't right for you. And, you know, and they didn't want to go looking for it. So I was like, all right, you know, that's good enough for me. Fair point.
Right.
I'm gonna sit right here next to the fire until daylight.
I've not experienced the roar. I've heard several people talk about the roar. They all describe it the same way.
Does it sound similar? Because it was terrifying. It was terrifying.
Well, they talk about it, like you said, like they can feel it in their body. You know, I mean, that's something you hear again and again, like it shook my body, or I could feel it in my body. I've even heard people say the low growls they can kind of feel in their body. They can, you know, almost feel the vibration of the low growls from those things. But the fear out of nowhere, even without the aid of the roar, I have experienced, and it was hard to stay in place when there was nothing to see and no roar to hear. So I can only imagine you hit that roar. I don't know that a gun is going to give you too much comfort, you know?
Yeah, and that's really what it was. There wasn't a lot of comfort. We all hugged the fire, which is kind of a very, in my mind, it's like as primitive as you can get, you know? It's like here we are. It's like, 2000 and whatever, five. And we've got everything modern technology can afford us, and we're huddled next to a big fire. I mean, that's pretty telling, you know, in my mind. It's like, all right, it won't come by the fire. It won't come by the fire.
It calls to that, you know, Stone Age hunter-gatherer that we are still in many ways. Gather around the fire. Fire will keep you safe.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, what's it, they always do that the joke about, hey, look, it's a caveman in modern times. Like, the trick is we're all cavemen in modern times. That's what's really funny.
You know,
there's not much changed up there, you know? That's because it really, I do wonder, is it something that we're, is it just so because it's big or because it's loud? I mean, for you, like for me, I know that sound was terrifying. It really scared me. But like I said, when I talked about the Hat Man, I was also really afraid. And there really was no reason for it. And in fact, it's sort of a shameful event. So is it something they're giving off? Is it something our brains are going, this shouldn't be here? So we short circuit? Is it something very like lizard brain going, you know, it's something I should get away from no matter what? I don't know, you know?
Was my thing, the only way I could describe it was fight or flight. And if I have to be honest, there was not much fight going on. It was my whole body was saying, get, you know, run, get out of here.
Were you alone or?
I was, yeah.
Okay, okay. Here's the Hat Man thing. I was living in Columbus. It was a weeknight. I know it was a weeknight because I was grocery shopping with my ex-wife. So many exes, man. I've got so many exes. But I was grocery shopping. We had pulled into the garage, shut the garage. We were coming into the house because the garage was in an alley, and then we had our yard and then the house. And I had groceries, and she was right behind me with other groceries. And I had the key, and I was opening up the back door, and I turned – and I saw, and we had lights. We have alley lights. And I saw, well, what is called the Hat Man. It was about 6 feet tall. And I know it because I saw it walk against, like it was walking in the alleyway. And it came out from the side of my garage. And I know it didn't see us. I'm pretty sure it didn't see us because it kept going on its way. But it was 6 feet tall. It had like a hat. It wasn't a top hat. It was sort of the brim was big. It was I think it was a Stetson, man. I don't know. It was a hat. But the trick is, and like I said, this is why it's sort of shameful, is that I got in the house and closed the door on my wife.
Oh wow.
You know, the deal is though, it took me about 2 or 3 seconds. And it was that fast going, what am I doing? She's out there. What am I doing? And I opened the door back, and she was right by the door. And she was the one who said, you know, you look like a ghost. What's wrong? And at that point, it was gone. So it was just tooling down the alley, and I assume it kept tooling. And like I said, this is not something that's going to be on the high point of my life when I look back. You know, it's like, how could you have done that? But it sure was just so terrifying. I can't explain it. You know, it's like we always want to be the action hero, and I couldn't not. I was like a rabbit. And I've never been like that. I really haven't. I mean, that's not me. I mean, hey, your wife's outside. You know, there's some crazy killer out there. I'll shut the door. No, man, that's like, what's his name? The doctor in Lost in Space. No, that ain't me. But it was just sort of something that like short-circuited your system. I don't know how else to describe it because it only lasted as long as it took me to shut the door and recover. It was just a dark figure and a hat. So I'm like, well, what is it? This is another one that sort of bothers me because I really try to take it apart and go, what caused that? I mean, because I really just saw a dude in a hat. So why did I get so scared? You know, I have no idea.
That's the odd thing that even, you know, shadow people, they're just shadows, but people don't get good vibes from, you know, it's the thing where it's like, you know, if we take the obvious, like a 10-foot tall hair covered, you know, thing with gorilla with fangs charging you. You know, that's something to wet your pants over.
But this is just random dude in an alleyway. It's like, hey, what are you doing here, random dude?
Right.
Get out of here. You know, hit the road.
In the case of my thing, I mean, I didn't. There was nothing to see. There was a couple sounds which were completely and totally inconclusive. There was a smell that was, you know, it wasn't so intense that it was going to make me retch or anything. It just happened to be there, and that was it. But the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, and for all the world, I think if I could have run, I would have. I think my legs were not a bang.
They were gone, huh?
Yeah, I think I was just kind of like, and I was in that zone where I was like, I don't know what to do here. Like, do I run? What do I do? You know, is running a good idea?
It used to be, because this happened a long, long time ago, and thankfully I have not had such a moment of cowardice since, but there used to be a part of me that's like, well, they must, like, shoot out some kind of field to make you just stupid scared. But now I think I'm a little more subtle in the fact that I think they're not supposed to be here. I don't think they have some sort of special ability. I think maybe they might be as confused about the whole thing as we are. Like, maybe the thing didn't even know where it was or that I saw him or anything. I mean, I don't know. But it was the fact that it wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe in this, well, for lack of a better word, universe, plane,
right,
that does something to us. And we go, you know, it just shorts us. It's like, no, this can't exist. You know, this can't be here.
It would work across the board. I mean, you know what I mean? From your aliens. I really just like calling them aliens, but it's a good shorthand. I don't believe they're from another planet. But, you know, from aliens to Bigfoot.
Same thing, man. I know. For sake of brevity.
Yeah. There's certainly that common factor of fear across the spectrum, whether we're talking, you know, ghosts, poltergeists, Bigfoot, aliens, whatever. There is that element of intense fear that people report. Not always, of course, not always, but a lot, you know. And you wonder if there is something to that, like the universal thing that they all have in common is maybe they aren't supposed to be here, or maybe we aren't supposed to see them.
Yeah, maybe it's wrong to put it all in the same folder, because, like I said, I mean, the growl. Yeah, I think that's enough to get anybody scared. I wasn't particularly terrified when I heard I've heard voices ghost hunting and stuff. And as a child, I wasn't particularly terrified. The Arizona thing, like I said, I think that was by intent. I wasn't terrified. But this thing, it was just like, bah, you know, it just sort of turned you off. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know, but it's something to really go, why is that caused that? Why?
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I do not feel like answers are forthcoming with this stuff. I know that that upsets some people who are looking to put a Bigfoot in a zoo and make friends with these little scientists from other planets or whatever their particular thing is. But sadly, these questions have been around as long as we've been keeping records. They just called them folklore before. We haven't answered it yet.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and you know, I get the same thing from people, and I go, you know, I love my cat. I think Mr. Pickles is the smartest guy around, but you know what? As much as I try, I can't teach him French.
Right.
And I don't think we have the ability. So, you know, I might be wrong, but you know, I don't think we have the ability. I can get them every Rosetta Stone class in the world. You can learn it.
It might come down simply that we don't have the organ to understand it. In other words, if we never had eyes, the concept of color would be pretty beyond.
No,
us,
I absolutely agree. And if sort of I can expand on that, we basically have all the senses we need to survive and nothing more. We don't have anything extra. You know, everything extra we've sort of built. But if we don't know what to build, good luck, man. Maybe we'll fall on it accidentally. You never know.
Right.
But, you know, evolution is kind of funny. It's like, do you need x-ray vision to survive? Nope. All right. Don't need that. You know, nope, ain't going to get it. You know,
right.
It's just not going to happen.
As I always say, I hope I'm wrong. I hope somebody figures it out. That would be lovely. I don't feel like I don't feel like we get to do it. I do not feel like
there are a lot of smarter people out there than I am, and I know I listen to a good amount of what do they call it now, conspiratainment, and there are people who say, you know, there might be some sort of quote unquote deep state science where they already know. It's like, hey, you know what? Fantastic. Maybe they'll let us know, but. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Yeah, I think
we'll see.
We will see. They might know more. You know, it like I always describe it as a puzzle. They might have more pieces of the puzzle, but I doubt that they've solved the puzzle or even a corner of the puzzle, really.
Yeah.
The puzzle's a 5D fractal.
I'm sort of Lovecraftian that way because I at a certain point, I don't think we're all that important enough to know. It's like, what makes you think this whole grand design is for you to know? I mean, what you know, it's just hubris on our part.
Oh,
like, yeah, we can figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. No, man. you don't get to know.
I think it was on Where Did the Road Go? We were talking recently about the afterlife. And I said, I don't think we get any answers in the afterlife. What about life has shown us that we're going to get anything more than more questions in the afterlife?
Oh, I know. That's got to be something with our parents or something, because my parents believe that too. And I'm like, did you get some book I wasn't aware of? How do you know this?
Yeah. Like,
you're going to find out who killed Kennedy? What?
Right, yeah.
I think it's going to be like Beetlejuice, man.
All of these great mysteries, every mystery, we never solve it. We just were presented with 100,000 more questions, you know? And
Who's to say it's any different than what we're living now? I mean, that really is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to get, you know, pass on, and then some guy with a long white beard is going to meet us with a great big book of, you know, here's your encyclopedia of all the answers.
The great irony is that it'll be that big book, and I'll go, yeah, you got about 3 minutes. Use wisely.
You're due to reincarnate in 3 minutes and 40 seconds, so do your best there.
That's right. And when you get back, you won't remember any of it.
Exactly, yeah. You're not going to remember any of it anyway, so have fun.
That's crazy enough to where it might be true.
My wife always says that she only has faith in irony. That's the only thing that she has faith in. So.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very true. Now, I between you and me, I think there are, I mean, I'm not discounting that there are aliens from some other planet. You know, if it comes to that, can we go faster than light or whatever? Yeah, sure, fine. But if that is the case, it doesn't change anything. Because I think we'll ask them, hey, do you know what those lights are in the forest? And they'll go, we thought you knew.
Right.
I don't think it's going to change anything, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be that scratching your head.
Yeah.
I really do.
We can tell you how our ion drives work, but we can't tell you what those things are.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, you know, nope. No idea. Like when you were in the forest, right? When you were, how do you know that it wasn't you who shifted and it was that thing? That's where I'm getting at now. Like, how do you know? Like, I've gone hiking and stuff by myself, and I realize that's colossally stupid. But there have been times when I've looked around and go, I don't recognize this place. And I know damn well I've been there like 100 times before. What, was it just my brain whacking out, or was I really in a different place? I don't know. I mean, this was long before the time of GPS.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know, you know?
Yeah,
if you've got the GPS, why aren't you on some different planet with different GPS?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I've experienced very similar things. And the reverse, either, like, I know I've been here, but this doesn't look familiar, or the reverse, there's no way I could have ever been here, but I know exactly where I am.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's very easy to go, well, that's some sort of brain hiccup. And that's fine. That may be. What's causing it is the next step, because it's in my mind, well, you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're just going, yeah, well, it's this. Well, how do you know? Well, it's just a guess. Well, I'm guessing that maybe you're not here anymore.
Right.
You know, either way, I want to know what's causing it. I mean, really, I want to drill down and find out, okay, what's causing this issue? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think with you and me and folks like us, that's the stuff that keeps us up at night, you know? And I wouldn't give it away for the world. I really
no,
wouldn't.
That well, that's the thing. I went through I went through a period at some point of very real depression. Luckily, it didn't last too long. But in regards to coming to realize that I don't get the answers to this, as much as I love this stuff, as much as I make it a part of my daily routine, as much as I dig in as many books as I read, the answers are not forthcoming. I'm not going to get them in my lifetime. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I kind of really feel like that's just the way it is. And that's something you have to settle with. And eventually, I decided, answers or no, I still love this stuff. So
yeah, and I know it seems trite, and it is an old chestnut, but just enjoy the ride, man. That's all you can do. Just enjoy the ride. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope me or someone I know stumbles on more of those puzzle pieces, but if it doesn't happen, I'm still in it. I'm still looking.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Yeah, me too. I can't say anything other than it's been a blast. It really has been. You know? And if I do get to meet like some flower pixie or some guy from, what's it, Zeta Reticuli, you know, all the better. You're right, all the better. If that, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay, really. Because I tell you what, I ain't going grassman hunting again for the rest of my life. You can have that. No, man, ain't doing it. God bless those guys that go back. I know I've read plenty, and I bet you know plenty of them. It's like, nope, I'm done. Nope. Tons of muscle, you know, almost 8 feet tall, can bend you, you know, snap you in half, just as much as looking at you. Oh, yeah, I'm in. I'll go look. No. No, not doing that either. No.
Well, Jim, let's wind this up. First of all, do you want people to contact
you? Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I love talking. It's hard to shut me up. You just have to understand I'm a crackpot. I have a website. It's jimpire.com. I'm the failed podcaster of epic proportions, but I'm going to be in October starting something on YouTube with a bunch of friends, and I'm working on a bit of nonfiction about spooky stuff in Illinois. So, yeah, come by and say hello. And again, Tim, I'm really flattered to talk to you, man. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Take care, buddy.
You
Bye.
Too.
Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, art, books, podcasts, and more. DarkHollerArts.com. Intro and background music by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more. I've lost my
my way, and I have no home. Sing the night bird's song as I wait for daylight. Hear my banjo ring and this song I sing. On the leaves as we walk.